This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 23rd, episode 1389, brought to you today by our auditors. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Well, we are here. Hello, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. I would like to point out that I know the time change happened a couple weeks ago, but I was in Oklahoma, so it wasn't that early. And then now... Monday, well, let's just say that today's the first successful day that I've woken up on time. Sorry about that, guys. Monday. Jennifer, I'm so sorry.
If you hadn't said anything, they probably wouldn't have known that you were supposed to be here.
I was supposed to be here on Monday, and I just totally overslept. So to make up for that, because now I'm supposed to get up at 4:45 as opposed to 5:45, I woke up because I was so panicked about not waking up today that I woke up at about 3:15.
And normally it wouldn't have been a big deal, except I was driving through Atlanta at about 9 o'clock on Monday morning. And a certain somebody else, we won't mention the name of, also overslept that day, which left Jennifer here by herself at my desk going, what do I do now?
Come on. If I'm going to throw myself under the bus, I'll throw Haley under the bus, too.
Come on. Intern Haley kind of overslept, too. So,
well, you know, when I was doing traffic and I first started the in Atlanta, the first morning I missed, I like come running in, you know, an hour late, and I've missed probably 15 sponsored traffic reports. And the main traffic guy, like I sit down, I finally get everything done, and they call me in for a meeting. And he's like, Jamie, I just want to let you know, even the best shortstops in the business miss a ball every once in a while. Just don't let it happen too much.
That's funny.
So I was playing baseball.
You know, if we count almost 6 years that we've been doing this, and you have once or twice a year you oversleep.
So not once or twice a year, just once or twice.
A year.
It's usually when the time change happens.
Yes, that is true. Yeah. It's usually around this time or or you had a really bad child night, you know, in those early days.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
But, you know, all of that's forgivable. And just, I felt bad for Jennifer because I couldn't do anything either. I was in the middle of, like, traffic in the middle of Atlanta rush hour. So,
speaking of Jennifer, which, by the way, every once in a while, I just got, suck it up, girl. Suck it up. Figure it out.
<She did. laughs>
We just wanted to test you. I would like to announce that there is somebody on this show who is horse shopping. And it is not me.
It's not you for change.
It's not me for the first time. So we're going to catch up with Jennifer a little bit later.
It's not
about
me
that.
Either. I got scooters a handful. I don't need another one.
You don't need another one. And speaking of, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Back on Track Wacky Wednesday edition, following the concise recounting of our Hit'em Cruise most recent adventures since we were last, which seems like a month ago, spring has sprung here in the United States, so it's time to ride. And Christy Schulte from the American Horse Council is here to tell us about what's new for this year's Time to Ride program. And then next up, the Haggard Horse Health Report takes on colic. And then rounding out the show, Horse and Country TV has the European Report. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. I had about 100 things to choose from for Daily Winnie today because it's been a while. But we got an email from Abby. I just wanted to read it to everybody. I found HRN when I searched iTunes for horse podcasts, and your shows were the first to come up. I'm glad to hear that, by the way. I ride dressage, so I was first gravitated to the dressage show, still my favorite. Then I discovered Hit'em, which I started downloading daily and listening to on my way to work. Those are my two staples, but I basically listen to all of them throughout the week. I listen to the driving show, even though I know nothing about driving, mostly because I love Wendy. By the way, half of the people who listen to Driving Show don't care about driving. They just like Wendy. I really liked your episode where you interviewed her, and that was funny. We got more comments on the Driving Show last week, and I just interviewed Wendy. The reason was both our guests canceled out at the last minute. And we said, well, we got to do a show. What are we going to do? And I said, why don't I just interview you about your time at the, you know, being shortlisted for the WEG and your, you know, your competitive years. Well, Wendy can, you know, she's like you. She tells stories. I mean, her stories are just out of this world. So it turned out to be our most commented interview we've ever done on a Driving Show. So it's funny how things work. But she said, thank you for many hours of quality entertainment education. Well, you're welcome, Abby, and we're glad that you're listening. Also, we want to wish a happy birthday to Auditor Jessica Troop.
Happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you.
So happy birthday, Jessica Troop. And it is your turn.
All right, I'll compile all of my racehorse stuff because I'm like you, I've got like so much to talk about. So first thing is Shared Belief, the ill-fated Shared Belief who passed away from colic a couple months ago, has a full brother that was just born to the dam, Common Hope. So congratulations to Jungle Racing, Wise Dan. On the other side, who is retired and living the life out on his owner's farm, has now just been nominated for the Canadian Hall of Fame, which he should be an absolute shoe-in. And Glenn, I want to run these names by you and tell me if any of them sound familiar. Okay.
Okay.
This is the list for a Friday, March 25th race at Santa Anita, race 4 at 2:30. Feldini, Magical Mystery, Uninvited, Yeanna Bitsy, Inhibition, and Dalmore. Have you heard of any of those?
No.
Why is this race so important to me? Because in the two spot is Zyconic. Zenyatta's baby, his second baby, is having his second race on Friday. So we will keep you posted
on that.
Now I'm
getting the babies so confused. Excited. There was a baby that did pretty well and the baby that did crappy. Which baby is this?
Well, let's just say you watch your mouth. There's no crappy day in Cosmic One's life, okay?
this is the one that did okay, right?
This is the one that did okay.
All right.
I get my babies all mixed up. Well, just to keep you up to date, Cosmic One was like, I mean, he went out as the uber favorite and came in dead last. And then his second race, I was like, ah, come on, he's just learning. His second race, he did a lot better. He came in second and dead last. So Zyconic, his second race, the quote from John Sheriff said, like, what's different about Zyconic and to Cosmic One? He was like, he's a lot faster. So this one is actually, Zyconic came in second in his last race. And they're kind of saying he's got a little bit of a soft field to run against it. Like you haven't heard of any of those horses, but this is just a maiden race. A maiden race means they've never won one.
Who's on
board? Let's just, in the first race, we had Gary Stevens in the tech.
Yeah.
Isn't Mike Smith riding him?
Yeah. Mike Smith is riding him.
Jamie's favorite jockey of all time.
So that's exciting. Mike Smith is back in the tech. He was serving a suspension last time that he was Iconic ran. But I've got to tell you, there's a quote from Gary Stevens. And he said, I never got the chance to ride the Great Mare Zenyatta. And this is, I'm not reading this. I'm just out of memory, so don't quote me on this quote. He said, I never got the chance to ride the Great Mare Zenyatta, but after that race, I felt like I did. Oh, come on. Goosebumps. Jeez, I love that guy. So I was hoping he'd be back in the tech, but they've got Mike Smith back in the tech. So
this will be interesting for Mike too, right? I mean, after all those years.
Yeah, I mean, he rode Cosmic One. Well, again, for those who haven't listened to the show, Mike Smith did wonderful for 19 races. And then the 20th race was Zenyatta. I feel personally like he did not give him the ride, give her the ride that she should have had. And I hold
and
that against
never
him.
Forgiven him.
And I've never forgiven him because she should
like
be 20
4 years
for 20.
And she still hasn't forgiven
she
him.
She should be 20 for 20, Glenn, and not 19 for 20. You know, all this, the hat that I have for Zenyatta, like nobody pretends that race even happened.
Mike
everything
Smith
you
could
read
go
about
undefeated
her
just, for the rest of the year, and she still wouldn't forgive him for anything.
You know what? When he wins his 20th race on Cyconic, then I'll forgive him. How about that? I'll throw that out there. Believe it or not, Mike Smith has not been on our show and probably won't. So
no. We've had a lot of other jockeys, but not Mike.
No, not Mike.
And he's probably not coming anytime soon.
That'd be like
soon.
My worst nightmare if you were like, hey, by the way.
Yeah, we got Mike Smith.
Mike Smith is on the line.
You're leading the interview.
I'd just hang up. I gotta go get coffee. You take this one. So anyway, that's all my racing news caught up. Now I do have a headline of the day for you, Glenn.
Okay.
And I read this article because, you know, I've got a mare that I have bred for this year. Breed the best to the best to get the best. And that's what I did. I got a wonderful, amazing Oldenburg mare and bred her to this wonderful, amazing Oldenburg stallion. And so I read now like birthing articles and stuff that I've never really cared about. But the headline caught my attention because of what my poor mare, bless her heart, her name is Pink, has been going through. She's a pro. She's had 4 or 5 babies, so she understands what life is like. But the headline is, studies show some mares, just a great start, studies show some mares find rectal ultrasounds stressful. No kidding.
And how much did we spend on that study?
I know. A group of German and Swiss
I can change that and to say some humans find retro ultrasound stressful.
I'll tell you what. This human does, and I've never had one. Just watching it happen stresses me out. A group of
some
German
dogs find rectal exams stressful.
God. A group of German and Swiss researchers have looked into the stress levels that pregnant and lactating mares experience during transrectal ultrasound exams and found that they perceive the exams as temporary stressors. Wow. Thanks, genius. Thanks for putting that team together. You mean you're going to stick an arm up a horse's butthole and like they find it a little bit stressful?
Stressful. Yeah,
no
that's
kidding.
Stressful.
Yeah. A little bit stressful. So there you go. There's your study show for the day.
That's funny. And I had a lot of listeners write to me over the last couple of days. We are going to get caught up. They all want to get caught up on how Lucky's doing, how the Mustangs are doing, how everybody's doing. I posted that Glory, my poor greyhound, had an accident and is like suffering miserably because greyhounds tend to overdo everything. So we're definitely going to get to updates on everything coming up here. I did want to give a congratulations out to Lisa Wysocki, who is our number one fill-in co-host when Jamie is out. And we have appeared in a couple of the books in her series, the Cat Unwrite series of books that she's written. The third one called The Fame Equation, which we were in, I think about, page 20, if I remember right, has been nominated as a finalist in the 2016 IBPA Benjamin Franklin Awards in the mystery category. And it marks the sixth honor for the three-book equestrian series. Plus, the series has been optioned for film and television.
Wow.
So the Ben Franklin Awards include 54 categories, and these awards are designed for independent authors and publishers, and they had more than 1,300 entries, and she is one of the very few that have been nominated in this category, and we want to really congratulate her. Lisa is a wonderful author. She's a good friend of ours, and according to my Facebook conversation yesterday, she is writing the fourth book, and I have been encouraging her strongly to make Jamie the killer, the murderer.
All I've heard, blah, 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 optioned for TVs or movies. And let me go ahead and start. I'm Googling right now on who should play me. And right now I'm thinking that Sandra Bullock would be a wonderful person to play me. I know I only have 5 seconds in each of the books. But I think that Sandra would really fit the part.
Okay, we'll let Jennifer determine who's going to play me. That seems like something a wife should determine. Who's going to play me, Jennifer? There's no comment at all.
She's smart.
Oh,
she's,
you know what?
Shopping.
She's on mute. She's trying to talk, but she has forgotten that she put herself on
mute. This is probably... Just stay on mute, Jen.
We cannot hear you at all, Jennifer. I don't know what you did, but we cannot hear you at all.
Probably for the best.
Oh,
probably,
you know what? She does have herself on mute.
Oh, hey, Glenn.
Oh, sorry about that. That was an accident.
I was busily chatting with a guest.
Okay. Sorry. She's not there. She's getting our guests lined up. Oh, I'll have to think about that. Maybe Sean Connery? I'm about old enough.
When I think of who should play you, yeah, he definitely is top of mind.
We both have beards. I have gray in my beard, too.
I mean, that's the guy. I was like, wow, that's, you nailed it.
You
that's
picked exactly Sandra Bullock. I don't want to hear it.
I think Sandy, you know, we have a connection, and I just think that we're probably going to be best friends after it, too.
I watched the movie where she was in at the hotel over the weekend, flipping around. I came across the movie where she was in space. What was that called?
Gravity.
Gravity. And I watched it, the whole thing, a second time. God, was she good in that movie.
I find that not only do we have a lot of the same tendencies, I feel like she and I have mirror image bodies. So... I mean,
no offense,
when you
Jamie,
look at her mostly naked, spinning around in
the capsule. Yeah.
In the capsule, yeah. Where she's just like,
I thought about you when I saw that, Jamie.
I don't know how you can't.
I know.
Unless you're thinking, wow, this is the total opposite. I mean,
Jennifer, I'm sorry about that. We were talking about who was going to play us in the movies about the Cat Enright books, because we're in the books. So we have to be in the movies. And Jamie came up with herself, Sandra Bullock.
It's a no-brainer.
And I came up with Sean Connery because I also have a beard and it's gray.
That's about where the similarity is, my friend. But... Sean Connery is your wife's kind of
favorite. Yeah. You
know, favorite. Yeah, so kind of is probably good. That's what she likes, the gray beard. So if you have any suggestions, how about this? Let's make it the question of the day. Who's going to play Glenn and Jamie and Jennifer in the made for TV movie of the Cat Enright novels? Something like that.
Yes.
Maybe we should put that on our auditors page, because I really don't want to see what anybody else says who doesn't really listen to the show.
Jen, you're on mute. We can't hear you. She's having mute issues today. Well, let's get to our first guest. She's waiting, wondering what the heck we're talking about and why she's here at this point. We have Christy Schulte on, making what seems to be an annual appearance from the American Horse Council. And we're going to talk about the Time to Ride program today. And we always like to have them back and get caught up on what's going on over there. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, guys. Thank you so much for having me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us. Now, are you any relation to Barbara Schulte?
No, I wish that I was, and I get asked that all the time. And one of these days, I'm just going to start saying yes, but I'm not. I wish I was.
Well, that came to mind because I was at Road to the Horse over the weekend, and Barbara was one of the judges, and we had her on the show. So I was like, well, maybe they're related, because Schulte's not a common name.
No, it's really not. I hear a lot of Schulte and that kind of thing. But when I first heard of her, I was like, wow, maybe I have, like, you know, the talent that she has in her little pinky finger. Maybe I can have a little tiny bit of that because of our namesake. But no, we're not actually related.
Just like you are just like Barbara Schulte, just like I am like Sandra Bullock. It's just the same.
Exactly. Yeah, we're both Caucasian females, so that's a big part.
That's about
all I need.
That's about what Jamie has there, too, going.
That's all I need. Yeah, I'll take it.
Well, we've had you guys on before to talk about the Time to Ride program, but we have a lot of new listeners now. So can you just give everybody a little bit of the basics about what it is?
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. We have had a lot going on since the last time I was on. Basically, the Time to Ride program is the brainchild of about 20 organizations and companies all across the horse industry. They got together and wanted to do something to boost the whole industry in general. You know, all the breeds and disciplines, of course, they always want to grow their own membership in their own breed, their own sport. But this effort is to grow horseback riding and participation in horse activities as a whole. And so it's organized under the American Horse Council. And our little office is actually based outside Austin, Texas. And what we do is put on programs that help people introduce new people to horses. So our whole goal is to reach people that have ridden maybe once or twice in their life, or they used to ride and they got out of it. People that are interested in horses and like horses, but aren't currently involved. And we want to get those people involved and turn them into regular riders and eventually horse owners and full-time participants in our industry. Because as we all know, horses are the greatest thing in the world. We think everybody should be involved. And the more people are joining our industry, the stronger it will be, you know, on all levels. So our programs offer rewards and support for the stables, clubs, and businesses that can do those kinds of things, which is something a little bit unprecedented. You know, there's a world show for every discipline you can imagine. There's, you know, World Equestrian Games and Olympics and high school finals and college competitions and that kind of thing. But there's no platform for rewarding people that are doing really kind of the, what we call the battle on the front lines. They're introducing the new people to the sport. And so that's what we are all about.
And I'm on the website right now. It's timetoride.com. And it's so simple to use. I mean, you just go there and you pick, you want to ride a horse and hit enter, and it offers recreational trail riding, different categories, lessons and camps, fairs and rodeos. And, you know, just so many different things that allows them the option to go. And it's so simple to use. And I really like that. But how are you getting the word out to non-horse people? That's always been our problem, right, in the past, is getting the word out to non-horse people in a place where it makes them go, I want to give that a try.
Absolutely. That is the biggest challenge that we ran up against when we started this. And what we did at first was try to go around the country and putting on kind of beginner-friendly events where we would kind of be the liaison between, let's say, five or six local stables and then the public. And we would do the work of attracting the public to an event where those stables were. And we found that was very time consuming and not something we could do on a national scale. That's absolutely the biggest question. And so what we've done is we've gone grassroots with it. So we've incentivized all the stables, any stable club or business, basically any horse professional across the country, to go out into their own community and find those people in their area. And the way we make that easier for them and more manageable, you know, how do you eat an elephant? Well, one little bite at a time, is to give them event support, event ideas, and the biggest thing is cash and prizes. Our biggest program is called the Time to Ride Challenge, and it takes place in the summer. This year, it'll be June 1st through September 30th, and we offer $100,000 in cash and prizes specifically for these businesses to go out and do that outreach. So this can be anything from, you know, a short five-minute ride. They don't even have to put people on horses. You can do petting, grooming, arts and crafts, you know, anything where the public can get in contact with their horses and feel more comfortable about, hey, this is a good person. And I had no idea she was right down the road, 10 minutes away from me. Now I know where I can take my kid for summer camps and riding lessons. So it kind of what we do is take a local approach, but across the whole country, support those local and regional businesses in doing more of that outreach that maybe has slipped their mind day to day. I know how busy people are that are running a lesson program or a boarding stable, because I've always ridden at those places and have my horses there and worked there. So I know how hard it is day to day to just, you know, keep everything going. People are often doing all the work themselves, and our programs really support them in this outreach stuff that gets new clients in their doors.
So I actually, your website then took me to takemeriding.com. Is that part of the whole program?
That is part of an AQHA program. And okay, what's really fun about Take Me Riding is it fits in pretty well with our mission. And AQHA is one of our marketing alliance members. So they're a huge supporter of Time to Ride and have been around since the beginning. And that is resources and games just for kids ages 5 to 9. So they have you'd be amazed. Their most popular game on there is the Poop Scooper game. That's what the kids love. But that's our site is really more of like resources for parents and businesses,
right.
Parents that want to get their kids into horses, and then business stuff. And then the taking riding stuff is really fun for kids, and then also for teachers and parents. And I should note, our website is like teetering on the brink of launching our brand new updated website for 2016. It looks amazing. We were on a call yesterday and have another one today to get this thing launched. So if anybody's visiting the site right now, they want to be sure to come back in about a week, 10 days and see the brand new one, because that will make it a lot easier for them to learn about the programs and get the resources and be able to get signed up and get started with our stuff.
How does, if somebody owns a barn, if they own a boarding stable or a lesson program, how do they get involved and get on the map that I'm looking at here?
Yeah, all they have to do is basically create an online account with us. So like I was saying, that is going to be open. I'm very hopeful it's going to be next week. April 1st is our official launch date for registration. So they can visit timetoride.com. And there'll be a little thing that says create an account, and that'll take them through the steps. Basically, what we need to know is their email and contact information, and then their business data, their address, and that kind of stuff, what kind of services they offer. And we'll put them on our brand new map. And then there'll be a little thing at the bottom that says, you know, want to register for the challenge, and they can learn more specifically about the challenge. But if anybody's interested, and isn't really sure whether they want to take the plunge into the challenge yet, they can certainly go and just create an account, get them a dot on the map. And that's free. We have a couple thousand locations across the country, plus Certified Horsemanship Association professionals and AQHA professionals and USCF professionals. But we would love to get all kinds of businesses on there, and use that map is a great resource for the families and the mom. So again, that little dot on the map is free, and then registering for the challenge is, of course, free as well. So all they have to do is visit our site, let's say late next week, and they can get on there for free. And we welcome all kinds of horse businesses, anybody, any kind of professionals, or even clubs, anybody that can help someone meet a horse.
And I'm actually, I pulled up Ocala, and you would expect there to be a bunch around Ocala. We're like the horse capital, right? So, and there are a bunch of farms and places and businesses that are all on here, and it just makes it, and I didn't know about a lot of these, so it makes it very easy to find. I like this. This is good. Jennifer will post this on our Facebook page, and, you know, for people to check out, whether you're looking, and you might be an experienced rider that's just looking for somebody new to work with, or looking for whatever, or new, either one, but it is a good resource either way.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I haven't looked specifically at the Ocala area, but what I always find surprising when I'm looking at those map dots is there, you know, for all the amazing trainers and professionals and show barns out there, the ones that really go unrecognized are the ones that are great at introducing the very new beginners to riding. And a lot of us, you know, to think back and think, I've been riding horses since I was 4 years old. What is it like to start riding? How do you really provide a great experience when somebody's new and maybe a little intimidated? And we think that those people that are doing that work are a little bit underappreciated. So that's what we are trying to support at Time to Ride. And of course, those people, you know, once somebody knows how to halter horse and saddle and walk around and trot and post and maybe go over a few little poles or run a really simple barrel pattern, then they're moving on up to these other trainers that are more competitive and going to shows and doing leasing and buying horses. So it, again, we love those little stables, and we just try to support them in everything they do, because their work is so important. Without those new people in the industry, you know, it's just the same group of us standing around looking at each other, waiting for the next generation.
So true. And Jamie, you can relate to that out where you are in Phoenix.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's timetoride.com is the website. American Horse Council's Time to Ride. Christy, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And keep us informed. Let us know what's going on.
Yeah, we sure will. Thanks a lot for having me on. And I just want to give a big shout out to all of our Marketing Alliance members and partners. Be sure to check out their logos. I can't list them all because there's 22 of them, but without those companies and organizations, we wouldn't be able to do this. So that it's all because of them.
Very good. Thanks, Christy. TimeToRide.com is the website.
Thanks, guys.
Well, you know, the American Horse Council has been really doing a lot of work here lately to get the word out and to get new people involved in horses. And it is the biggest problem that we have through all of the different associations. You know, I talk to a lot of the associations. We work with a lot of them, and they all have the same issue. And that's, there's teenagers are not coming into the associations and not taking up whatever discipline or breed it is. They're not there. They're just not coming in like they used to. So it's becoming a problem that everybody in the horse industry is worried about is, you know, who's going to be riding these horses in 10, 15 years? You know, is
gosh, that is not the problem I have at my house.
Really?
Oh my gosh. I swat them away with flies. They won't leave.
The children?
I can't tell you how many 13-year-old girls, like a couple of them own horses, a couple of them lease horses. They show up every day. And they stay here until dark. And you've been to my house.
Yes.
It's not that big.
We used to have the same problem. But I guess
I gotta tell you, I look forward to 4 o'clock every day. I really do. I absolutely love it. And I'm so lucky to have a husband that loves it too. You know, he's like, he's just talking to him yesterday. He's out of town again. And he's like, how was your day? I was like, totally boring until four, as usual.
You have some good kids there too.
Like, that's... when is school over? Come out.
We met a lot of them when we were out there. And you do have some good kids.
That really makes
a difference too.
Yeah. Well, I find too that the ones that aren't committed like this don't stay. And I see so much of myself at that age in these girls, you know, so it's really exciting to be able to kind of mentor those girls. Like just yesterday, Abby, do not take your horse out to the pasture with a halter and no lead rope. Okay. Stop. I'm like chasing after her on my broken foot with a lead rope. What does Joey do? He rears up and runs away. And she was like, I got it. I was like, no, you don't. And so she came in the house afterwards. I was like, did we learn our lesson today, young lady? Yes. So it's fun to nurture and mentor them and to let them know what is what, safety and all those things. And that's really important too. So I love that they're doing that. And there's a definite place and need for that.
All right, let's take a break for Back on Track, and we're coming back with our horse health segment that we do every Wednesday with Haggard, who I was right across the street from the other day, and they're going to be here talking about colic today. We'll be right back. Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work, and what is the science behind them? Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
Well, that wouldn't help this segment, because this segment, we're going to talk about what's inside the horse. And we've got to welcome Dr. Elizabeth Barrett from Haggard. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Fantastic. So far, I mean, my God, I don't think anybody's colicking right now, but you never know. I'm inside. So that's what we're going to talk
about. Somewhere in the world, there is a horse.
Yes.
Yes, that's very true. Bless their heart. We've all been through it if you've had horses long enough, and that is colic. And we have so many new listeners and so many people that have just come up and ask us questions. And so what we wanted to do is kind of get back to the basics and kind of let's just talk about colic. I mean, it's not very basic, I know, but first of all, give everybody the definition of colic.
I guess the basic definition of colic, sorry, I have a little bit of a cold today, is just abdominal pain. So any type of pain that a horse experiences because of anything that's going on in their gastrointestinal tract can be defined as colic.
So any sort of abdominal pain is colic. So it can be, not you saying this, but that's so not helpful when horses just have abdominal pain. Because there's like a billion things that can be going on. Give us some examples of what can be going on during a colic.
Exactly. So there's a huge range of things. And I guess that's why it's always important, if you're concerned that your horse is colicking, to probably have a veterinarian examine them. You know, broadly, you can divide types of colic into things that might require surgical intervention and things that get better with just sort of medical therapy. So kind of things that we can do to them just on the ground and very basic. Probably the most common cause of colic in all horses is just a plain simple gas colic. So when they have distension of some part of their intestine, usually the large colon, it just fills up, and just that distension itself causes pain. So it makes the horse uncomfortable. And that's when you see those common signs of pawing and rolling and looking at their sides.
That was what I was going to ask you next. What are some of the common signs that you will see if your horse is displaying colic?
Yeah, absolutely. There are some kind of minor ones that people don't always know. You know, whether their upper lip, and it's called a Flamin response, and some horses will do that just when they're feeling kind of a mild bit of pain. Obviously, disinterest in their food. They won't eat their breakfast or their hay like they normally would. Certainly, pawing. Again, they'll just turn and look at their side. They're kind of pointing out to you, this is what doesn't feel good. And then kind of as it gets more painful or more extreme, that's when they'll get down and start rolling around, and you have trouble obviously getting them up and walking them around.
I've even seen it. My old horse who ended up with colic surgery, he would do this weird thing where he would stretch out like he was going to pee. And anytime I saw him stretching, I was going, yeah. Oh God, is he going to pee? Is he okay? He's peeing. Okay. We're good.
Yeah. we call it parking out when they do that for sure.
And another thing that I've kind of looked for too is when I see a horse, and this could be wives' tale, and tell me if it is or not, but when they lay down to roll, this also incites panic in me when I see a horse rolling, is if they stand up and don't shake off.
I'm going to go with old wives' tale on that one. The thing is that horses are so unique, and they each have their own individual personalities, that they all honestly respond to that abdominal pain slightly differently. So it's going to be whatever is normal for your horse. When they do something kind of outside of that normal, my gut instinct is always to listen to the owner. So if they tell me that the horse is acting differently, doing something that's out of their routine, then I'm going to go check them out for a lot of times, honestly, looking for a cause of what could possibly be colic. So if it's not normal for your horse to get up and not shake off, then you know, I'm going to look into that.
Well, darn it. I'm going to panic every time I see a horse roll now. Thanks for that. Now, what
the horses
time
love to roll. So
I know. So what time of the year, is there a time of the year that you will see more colics than others?
Here in Lexington, in Kentucky, you know, we're kind of the thoroughbred breeding capital of the world. And so a lot of our cases that we see are related to that breeding industry. So certainly in the springtime, so March and April is when we see the most colics and kind of surgical colics.
Why
that
is that?
Is almost entirely related. Brood mares, after they foal, there's just a whole bunch of extra space left over in their abdomen where that foal used to be. And unfortunately, that gives their intestines all kinds of room to twist around, and that's exactly what they do a lot of the times. So the type of colic that we most commonly see here is a colon torsion. So it certainly March and April would be when we see those most commonly. I've also worked in, it's very geographic. So I worked in Alabama at Auburn University, and we had a different type of colic and a type of impaction that was related to the hay that they fed there. And we saw that really commonly. Also in the spring, it was kind of, later summer when they're putting out second cut of that type of hay. So it's honestly very geographical to where you are and the common causes for colic in that region.
Can grass, like green grass, coming in the spring, new grass cause it?
Absolutely. Green grass, as much as horses love it, you know, it causes problems with laminitis, but also with that type of gas colic. So if a horse goes out and just gorges like crazy and they haven't had an opportunity to kind of adjust to that grass, then they will oftentimes gas up and colic because of that.
So we're coming into the spring with a lot of, in a lot of areas, like, you know, our grass is starting to pop up here in Florida now. We should be weaning them onto that rich, green, sugary grass a little bit each day, or
Absolutely. I think the most important thing for horses is their routine, you know, so I always try to stick with their routine. But certainly as the grass starts to come in, you don't want to just throw them out on that immediately, you know, for 12 hours a day. You want to kind of slowly build that up, you know, turn them out for the morning and either use a muzzle for the afternoon to slow them down or kind of bring them in.
See, and here's another reason why
overnight.
Yeah. Here's another reason, Glenn, why overgrazing at my house is a good idea. I need to have 7 horses on 2 acres. I mean, I just need to, it keeps them from colicking.
You tell now, your husband that.
Yeah, exactly. I need more horses because the grass is coming up. I don't want anybody to colic. So what do you do? Do you call your vet?
On that note, I might mention that here in Lexington, we've actually seen quite a few colics associated with tapeworm. So having a high density of horses in a small paddock can certainly increase your risk of worming.
See, you can't use that one with your husband anymore.
You're just not going to let me have
Dr. Barrett is not letting you off the hook there,
Jamie. Mucking the paddock as well.
I believe it or not, we do muck the paddock, and I just sent all their fecals off and got them all back. So I manage it.
You have a gold star from me then.
So when do you call your vet? When you think you suspect colic?
Yeah. You know, I think if you, obviously you can always call your vet. So if you're concerned, you know, you see your horse showing those, you know, either not eating its dinner or pawing, looking at its side. To be honest, even if I saw my own horse doing that, I'd kind of watch them. I'd give myself 5-10 minutes to see, is it just a one-off thing where, you know, is it truly a behavior that they're going to keep repeating? And if they do continue to repeat that behavior, then certainly I would give my vet a call at that point. I know one of the common questions I get is, you know, should we give Banamine? Should we be treating our horse on its own? And I think it's a really tough call for me. You know, it depends on if it's a client that I know really well, because I like to know baseline how that horse looks before it has any pain medication, because that's what helps me make decisions on what further treatment I'm going to offer or if I think they need to be referred to a hospital. So certainly if you're in an area where a vet can't get to you quickly, and you're used to treating your horse, then I would encourage you to do a physical exam and have kind of those basic numbers for your vet, when they arrive. Also to kind of make note of what time the horse is treated so that we can kind of gauge, is the horse still painful when the medication should have kicked in, and various things like that.
Now, the numbers you're talking about, obviously, TPR, your temperature, your pulse, the respiration rate, and can you kind of go over those real quick?
Yeah. So normal heart rate for a horse is 28 to 40. And so above that, you know, there are certain numbers that kind of, you know, if a horse has a heart rate that's quite high, say, you know, even in the 80s, that's an immediate alarm for us. Especially if it doesn't come down after some mild treatment. The respiration rate, you know, kind of 8 to 16, it's quite low. So if the horse is panting, that's certainly something that indicates that they're in a fair bit of pain. And then temperature, you know, kind of anywhere from 98 to 101 is that kind of normal. I always have to think about that. I'm from Canada, so we don't usually use that Fahrenheit, but down here. Kind of those numbers, anywhere above that, and we start to think of kind of some some possibilities of what could be going on with the horse.
See, now I thought you were from Canada when you first started talking, and then you said something about living in Alabama, and I'm like, there is no way this woman is from Alabama. I love it.
I wanted to pick up that accent from there, but I didn't get it.
You didn't get it. You believe me.
You've got, that's great. Well, so what can you do to prevent, we're running out of time, but what can you do to prevent colic?
Yeah. And that's the $1 million question, that I would be a millionaire if I could, you know, obviously prevent that completely. And I would be out of a job, but still, it's still something we strive for. I think the most important thing, honestly, is that horses are creatures of habit, and they like a routine. And so when that routine gets upset because of anything, it could be cold weather that causes them to drink less. You know, you have to find ways to encourage them to drink more, either through electrolytes or offering them warm water. That can help prevent things like impaction and various other types of colic. A routine, consistent, and a great diet is probably the best thing that we have to protect against colic. So a good source of roughage is what helps keep horses, you know, normal motility in their testing and keep all that healthy. And you know, I know it's tough sometimes in a place like Florida, but obviously grass for horses that can handle it is one of the best things for them, to be continuously grazing like that. Other than that, there are a lot of great products.
I think we've had more horses colic when they've had to be in and they're confined rather than they're out 24 hours a day. We've had less colicking when they're out.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Okay, good. I didn't know if that was just something we observed.
Horses are naturally, they're meant to be out and moving around and grazing constantly. I have worked at a couple big horse shows, you know, that are just where all the horses ship in and there for 8 or 9 weeks. And, you know, I see a much higher percentage of colics there at those events than just, you know, in my normal practice here, when I'm just, you know, hanging out and the horses are in their natural environment, just because you're taking them out of that routine. And, you know, they're obviously kept in a stall for much longer periods of time. And that's when you start to see problems.
If one more question, if they've colicked once, is it more likely they'll colic again?
There are certain types of colic, yes. I guess my thought would be, you know, and you can rack your brain too much, but I always try to look back and see what it is that could have contributed to it, and then try to prevent those things in the future. So no, not necessarily is the answer.
Okay.
Unless you live here or you have a broodmare, perhaps, that's going to be foaling every year.
And you know what? It's interesting too. One of our hosts here is an endurance rider, and her like 18,000 mile endurance horse, really good horse, Arabian colic, and had surgery, and within a year was back to doing endurance again. So it's not it's not a sentence of, even if they have surgery after a colic, it's not a sentence that they're going to be, you know, a pasture pet after that. They can come back from that. So,
Absolutely. We've come a long way in the last, you know, 10, 20 years. I think, you know, advances in colic surgery and our techniques and, you know, oftentimes within kind of at the 3 month mark after surgery, horses go back to being ridden.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's good to know, because years ago it wasn't that way. You know, it definitely has come a long way. Well, Haggard Equine Medical Institute is where Dr. Barrett is from. We thank you so much for stopping by, and we look forward to hearing from Haggard again next week on a new topic.
Great. Okay, all right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Barrett.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Haggard offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Haggard.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8255. 8741. Follow Hagyard Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter at Hagyard and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
There's a space I can reach across when I try. My heart gets lost and you hold back. No matter what I do. Well, you know I can read your mind. There's a wall that you hide behind. Won't you tear it down like I would for you?
Tiffany DeRose. You can find all of her music at tiffanyderose.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Back on Track Products. You can visit them at backontrackproducts.com. And we're back. It's Glenn, Jamie, and Jen, and we're here.
And Lucas.
And Lucas has joined us as well.
Can I just vent for a second that when my husband watches Lucas, he sleeps till 8:30. You have to wake him up in the morning. And I'm watching him at 6:45. He's like,
That always happens. It's the way it is.
So anyway, he's here. If you hear, you know, the sound of YouTube videos or tally tots.
How old is Lucas now? Is he 2.5?
He's over 2.5. He'll be 3 at the end of May.
Oh, wow. It's getting close.
Yeah. So this is going to be a fun day. He's going to nice.
And is Lucas making the trip to Rolex?
Yes, he is. And guess who else is making the trip to Rolex? Chad.
Really?
Yes. He has training dates. He selected some training dates for American Airlines. He's doing a preliminary 2-week stuff right now. So he's in Dallas, Texas training. And then he comes back for the entire month of April. So oh, wow. I'm like, great. You're actually, they were like selecting training dates. And it was like, you could start April 26th all the way up through like May 3rd. I was like, May 3rd, you can come to Rolex. Like that was the crux of like starting the rest of his life was, to me, how did it play around Rolex?
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
How we now, roll. Jamie, if they get this 4-star down here in Florida in the fall winter circuit, you're going to have to make 2 road trips a year.
Well, we'll see how it goes. We'll see. the problem with going to Florida is I have so much family in Florida that they're not going to like let me do, you know, like I if I could sneak a visit to Florida and not tell my mom. But that would not
happen.
Hey,
don't tell anybody, but Jennifer's brother, when he was a Green Beret, used to do that. He used to come home to and stay at our house and then not tell anybody for a couple days and then announce he was back.
Oh my
gosh. So he'd have some private time to, you know, decompress before he had to deal with family.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah. Good call.
And I'm glad they don't listen because.
Exactly. I don't think my mom's listening.
Hey, I got to tell everybody tomorrow or Friday, Really Bad Ads will be back. So get your Jennifer needs some. Get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. And we have that amazing grooming pack as a prize this month. So definitely get your ads in. Hop on over to Craigslist and send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Also, tomorrow. As a programming note, it's a Horse Husbands episode, and we recorded it last night, and it's a fun one. We actually talked horse husband fashion, so you're going to hear that on the show tomorrow with Elisa Wallace's dad, Rick.
Actually pretty fashionable.
Well, that's why he was there. And he basically said that horse husbands are failing miserably in the fashion department. So me included, by the way, and Timothy included. So we are going to make an attempt to be fashionable at Rolex.
This should be good.
Yeah. And we will be telling you how we're going to be fashionable tomorrow morning on the show. Of course, it is no women allowed. So we only encourage the men to listen to that. Uh-huh. It's a lady free zone.
Sounds good.
All right, good. Well, we are going to have Victoria here in just a minute. We'll be getting her on the line with we haven't had a European update in a while.
No.
And there's a lot to talk about there. Why don't you, real quick, we had people wanting updates. So while I'm getting Victoria on, tell everybody how Lucky is doing. Lucky is the dog that Jamie saved and rescued and has been having ear issues because he's a basset hound and their ears are the size of Oklahoma. So what's up with that? Has the medicine worked?
The last thing we did was 3 weeks ago. We went to a specialist, a dermatologist for dogs. Yeah, exactly. They have those and they're very expensive. So we went to the dermatologist and she gave me this great, she goes, you know, that will be the last vet you ever see about this. So I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling good. He's been on the medicine and he actually has his checkup appointment tomorrow. So I will have more information for you tomorrow. Let's see, you wanted an update on the Mustangs. I'll post a video. They're just the neatest horses on the planet.
Well, Zeus, I love you posted a video of Zeus, both of them actually, but Zeus is did very well on the Facebook page.
Yeah, well, I posted a video of him. He is mass destruction. Okay, like the horse cannot. Okay, I've been through 3 fly masks. For Thor already, because because Zeus keeps ripping the fly masks off Thor and doesn't just take them off and drop them, obliterates them. I'll take a picture of some fly masks that Zeus has removed from Thor.
New ones that have come out that are supposed to be ultra tough that we're supposed to get to test. I'll send them out to you.
Oh yeah, here we go. Yeah, good luck with that. If there's one, we'll test it. Another thing is. He has destroyed the feed bucket in his stall. Like there's a bucket that just hangs there and he can't leave it alone. So I'll take a picture of that. And I should take a picture of his neighbor's stall, which is soaked because we use big muck tubs for water buckets here because they just drink so much during the day because it gets so hot. And he doesn't knock his own over, but he goes in and he removes and tips over his neighbor's water bucket 3 times yesterday. And I moved it to the other side of the stall. I'm like, how are you reaching that? He's impressive. So, that has happened. So he is trouble. So I got him a licky thing from Uncle Jimmy's and put it in the stall, and he has spent a lot of time with that and has not figured out how to bite it yet, because I hung it in the middle of the stall. But he did figure out how to pin it up against the wall and take a bite. So we'll see how long that lasts. And because the broken foot, I just had the kids riding him, and the kids being teenagers, and I lunged him over some jumps.
That's amazing that you can have the teenagers ride this Mustang.
He's so good.
I mean, came out of the prison program, you know, for 3 months, and that was it.
He's just really, he just really wants to do stuff. He's the kind of attitude like, I want to do stuff right now. Let's do. What are we going to do? You want me to stop? Okay, I'll stop. You want me to go? Okay, I'll go. Where do you want me to go? I'm going to do it. And that's how he is, like in the stall, on the ground. If you're like sitting there, he's like, what is that in your hand? Is that a brush? I need to take that brush and I need to brush myself with it. I need the curry coming. Is there a hoof pick? Oh, you've got one in your pocket. Let me go ahead and get that. Like, that's Zeus. Like, he's so busy, it's exhausting.
Sounds like he'd get along well with Scooter, those two.
Yes, they would be a nightmare together. Exactly. And Thor is like, he's like, okay, Mom, this is ridiculous. Like, Thor has attacked every horse I've turned out with him except for that darn pony. And so when I put them out together, I thought it's going to be either great or bad. And Zeus just doesn't get it. Like, Thor's grazing and Zeus is like trotting circles around him. You want to play? What do you want to do? Let's do it. And Thor has just given up chasing him away. Like, it's just Thor will come in and stall in the morning and Zeus comes right on in with him. He's like, okay, we're gonna share a stall. Like, Thor just looks at me like, seriously,
what's wrong with that boy?
Zeus is perennially happy.
Yes, he's just like one of those like totally chipper girls that you knew in high school. It's like, oh my god, totally, like, this is great. He's just it's like a big baby.
By the way, dating them is a nightmare. Just
I'm sure. And then the final update is, I got to give you a chicken update because I did something bad, Glenn.
What'd you do?
Did you eat a chicken?
Oh gosh, no, I didn't eat a chicken. My girlfriend wanted to get some nice, really unique looking chickens. And so she needed to order a minimum of 25 from the place to get chicken. So I might have just bought like 20 baby chicks. I don't even know how many I bought. I was like, I'll take 6 of that one. Oh, give me 7 of that one. Like, I don't even know. And they're straight run, which means you don't know whether they're hens or roosters, but I'm like, send them on over. So we will be in May. I think they're going to be here in May, be getting a slew of really interesting, unique looking chickens. And I haven't really told Chad the whole thing yet. Like, I told him I ordered a couple. He doesn't realize there's like 20 and there might be 20 roosters. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Well, you know, Glory, speaking of dog issues, Glory, while I was gone, decided to, Glory does everything at 30 miles an hour. She's a greyhound, right? So there's nothing slow about our dog. And we've owned many greyhounds through the years, and this one just seems to do everything faster than the rest of them. So anything she does, she's sort of like Zeus. She does with great enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And so she always, there's three steps, three wooden steps up onto our deck that leads into the front of the house, right? And she always takes a flying leap at about 18 feet out onto the deck. She never actually touches any of the steps. Well, apparently while I was gone, she took that flying leap and missed.
Oh, no.
And took a chunk out of her leg about the size of about 2 or 3 inches. She took a chunk out of her leg. Oh. And she's been, you know, a big baby about it the whole time. Greyhounds are the worst babies about boo-boos. She has just been playing the pity card the entire time. And Jennifer,
oh, my gosh. Jennifer, does that sound familiar?
I know. I know somebody like that, and I can't come up with their name.
I'm trying to come up with it. Trying to come up with it.
I will.
All right. Well, they say you're like your pets, or they're like you, right? So
yeah,
maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But she has definitely been playing the pity card the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, we are waiting for Victoria Spicer, who has not shown up yet. So, Jennifer, why don't you tell us about your horse shopping adventure? Well, here's Victoria. We'll get to Jennifer's horse shopping adventures in just a minute. I think we have her. Hi, Victoria. We can't hear you. I see you. You're here, but we cannot hear you. Are you on mute? Oh, and now she's gone.
Uh-oh.
So, Jennifer, to explain to everybody what's going on and why you've decided to go horse shopping.
Well, I started out on a horse shopping adventure a few weeks back, and I'm going to Beaker and I have decided that it's me, it's not him.
It's not you.
I've grown past our relationship. And Beaker's going to go to a new home where he can be the professional trail horse that he really wants to be, and a lot less of the jump over jumps and do dressage horse.
You bought Beaker with the intent. Like, why did you buy Beaker in the first place?
Well,
because
Beaker,
you kind of wanted that trail horse,
right? The deal was when Beaker came into our lives is Beaker, you are a trail horse, and he said, "Yep, I've got it." And he does. He is the consummate trail horse.
And just also, like former eventers, you've decided that you're like, I need to get back in the game. And Beaker's like, no, you don't.
No, you don't. Yeah. My running and jumping roots keep calling to me.
Aww.
And Beaker, bless his little heart, he does his best. He'll glump lazily over logs when he'd go on hunter paces and things. But other than that, really not into it. Really not. And it's just not fair to say, Beaker, let's change careers. And so Beaker's going to find a home where he can continue to be the consummate trail horse that he has been.
If you're looking for a consummate trail horse, he's still for sale. So just drop Jennifer an email at jennifer@horseradionetwork.com.
Horse for sale at horseradionetwork.com. So I started shopping and I found some really exciting and interesting prospects. But I'm getting a little bit, I don't know, I'm getting a little worried. Because this is how it went. I made an appointment to see a horse. And the day before I went to see the horse, I got a message from the owner and said, horse came down with an abscess. It's not looking good. Might be a week or three. I'll let you know. Oh, disappointing. Really liked that horse. Had a second appointment later in that same week. And just about an hour before I had to leave for that appointment, I got a message from the owner. This horse has pulled a shoe and ripped his foot to shreds. It's going to be a while. I'll let you know. Get back on and start shopping. Found a third appointment. Oh, yay! Really adorable warm blood. Get a message from the owner the day before we're supposed to go out. He got into a tussle in the pasture with his little friends and got his hind legs all kicked to shreds. It's a mess. I'll let you know. So I'm feeling a little bit worried.
Jennifer,
now, if
you see the dang ad, just go to their house. This is what I'm getting. Like, don't make an appointment.
Although
just
I'd rather
up.
Have the abscess before we go out than after we take the horse home. So if I'm gonna have a choice, that's how I'd really choose
to
do that.
It's just crazy. Now, I've got an appointment to see one later on in the week. I'm just hoping he doesn't come down with some exotic disease or something.
Yeah.
They're kind of getting worse as you go. So
I know.
When are you supposed to go?
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow what time?
Tomorrow morning.
Okay, look. Then go right now.
Yeah, leave now. Go early.
Leave now. Just go right now.
I thought it was, what was the warm blood again? Which brand was it?
It was a Hanoverian.
A Hanoverian. Wouldn't it be ironic if Jennifer ended up with a Hanoverian, by the way? I thought that would be ironic.
Why would that be ironic?
Because, you know, warm blood, Hanoverian.
This is an inside joke.
Yes.
Everybody, if you are a dressage aficionado,
yes,
or you are a lover of warm blood breeds, please pull out your earbuds now.
Okay, I will. Go ahead.
I have referred to the warm blood breeds as a whole as dumb bloods for many a year.
Like 30. Years.
Yeah. Not a warm blood. It's a dumb blood. I'm old school when it comes to equestrian athletics and athletes. They need to be a thoroughbred or nothing. You know, that's kind of the way it went for me. So, you know, if I ended up owning a warm blood.
You know what? I think you have two people on the line here because I think Victoria's on now. Victoria, you would agree with that, right?
I would. I've had nothing but thoroughbreds since I came off ponies. So, but I have to say that's mostly because I've been given them for free. I don't have.
If she could afford a dumb blood, I mean a warm blood, she would get one, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hey,
Victoria, if somebody gave you a warm blood, would you take it? Really nice one.
Well, yeah. If they gave me it, I'd presume it was lame or broken or not. combination of all three.
Which is why people give you racehorses. Exactly. So same thing.
Now, usually I've got all mine because they've been slow, basically. So, yeah.
Well, for new listeners, this is Victoria Spicer. She is does our European report, usually about every week, with Horse and Country TV. Hey, Victoria, it's been a while. We're glad to talk to you again.
Oh, I'm glad to be back.
Hey,
just to finish up, Jennifer, yeah. Good luck. Go see that horse today. I'm not going to take any more excuses.
I'm hanging up. I'm out of here.
Bye. Victoria, how is beautiful, sunny London?
It's cold. I went outside about 10 minutes ago and regretted the decision, so I've come back inside to my desk, which shows how cold it is. Hey, you know, I'd rather be here.
Before we go on, we have a lot of listeners in Europe, and we just want to send our thoughts and prayers to everybody over there with the whole Brussels situation and the terrorist attack. You know, I know we have a lot of listeners in that area, so our thoughts and prayers go out to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Terrible events that have happened yesterday, so yeah. Very upsetting.
A good event, and this is not on your list, but and I'll let Jamie take over, but you have a certain William Fox Pitt's going to be making his way back to the ring.
Yes, apparently he's entered for badminton, so he's not hanging around. So, yes, he's been off injured since last October. He had a very bad cross-country fall, which left him with severe head injuries. And, yeah, there's just no stopping these eventers. They're back in action already, and he's doing a few events in the run-up to badminton and then plans to be at the world's biggest four-star. So you've got to take your hat off to William.
It's like a month away. I mean, it's not like it's like I've entered for the fall. I mean, he's back on board.
I guess if they're going to come back, they're going to do it properly, and they've got Rio in mind. And I say they because I'm talking about his old rival and adversary, Andrew Nicholson, who also had a terrible accident last summer and also has just made his return to eventing and is entered at badminton. So these guys really are crazy, because as much as I love them, neither of them are in their first flush of youth. They are reaching perhaps the kind of twilight end of their career. And nobody would have, you know, thought anything of them if they thought, you know what, I've done enough. I'm going to do some teaching, some coaching, take it easy. But no, they're back in the saddle and aiming for Rio. So quite amazing. At least William's aiming for Rio. Gosh knows what's happening with Andrew Nicholson and he's falling out with the New Zealand Federation. So I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, he might be there as an independent, no country.
Yes, he could. You know, they're having a refugees team at this year's Olympics, and
he could be a refugee.
refugee from the FEI.
Yes.
Now, Andrew Nicholson, he suffered back in August, like a massive kind of a neck spinal cord injury, right? I mean,
yeah.
They said and I'm reading the article, it says he's incredibly lucky as the injury would have caused paralysis in 98% of the cases. And this guy's entered in badminton?
Yeah, he is incredible. I mean, obviously he didn't end up paralyzed, and he was very lucky, even though you keep hearing of riders that have broken their neck and you think that's such a catastrophic injury, and then they're back in the saddle the next year. It's crazy. He was very lucky. I just think that Andrew Nicholson didn't allow himself to get seriously injured, because he's Andrew Nicholson, and when he decides something, he was just like, no, I'm not going to be badly injured, I'm going to get back on my horse very quickly, and he has, because when Andrew sets his mind to it, there is no stopping him.
Well, I gotta tell you, he's on this week's Eventing radio show. That's coming out today, right, Jennifer?
That is correct.
Okay, so if you want to hear him tell his own story, head over to the eventingradio.com today. He'll be on that show episode.
Well, that's timely. Now, moving on, talk to me about the girl power.
Yes. Now, the last time we spoke, I was heading off to Cheltenham Festival, which is a huge, big race meeting. Hundreds of thousands of people go. It's jump racing, and it's the biggest jump racing meeting of the year. And it's not quite as famous as the Grand National outside Britain, but it's kind of the real race goers. Meeting, and everybody loves it, and it's all the best horses in the country. But this year there was even more news about Cheltenham than normal, because a certain Olympic cyclist, Victoria Pendleton, decided that watching this you know, incredible race meeting with lots of very different races and huge fields and very competitive, she decided she wanted to have a go and went from having never ridden a horse to competing at Cheltenham in the space of a year. And I'm pleased to report she made it. She survived. And not only that, she finished fifth. So it was really brilliant.
Oh,
brilliant.
Yay.
She did so well. She'd obviously been told to stay at the back and stay out of trouble.
And don't get hurt.
The horse she was riding is a very classy horse. He's getting slightly older now, and so he's been competing at a lower level. But they thought he might not stay the 3 mile distance, so they were like, just keep him out the back, keep out of trouble. And she was still going at the end, and then, you know, she was able to kick on up the hill and make fifth. And typical Olympian was a little bit disappointed that she didn't make fourth, because then she would have been in the placings. So she was just outside of the placings. But I just think, what an amazing achievement. I've been riding for 30 odd years and I wouldn't ride around the Fox Hunters, so I take my hat off to her as well.
My gosh, 3 miles. Like
3 miles too.
At a dead run while jumping. It's just, that's unreal.
It's the same course and distance as the Cheltenham Gold Cup, which is the pivot, the pinnacle of the jump racing calendar. And they run that, which was won this year by Don Cossack, amazing race. And then straight onto the Fox Hunters, where these amateur jockeys jump the same fences and the same course as the best horses and jockeys in Britain and Ireland. So really was quite amazing.
Now, is she going to continue as an Olympic cyclist?
She's retired from cycling. So that, I mean, that's basically why this came about. You know, this happens a lot with athletes and they finish their career. And I guess we're lucky in equestrianism that as soon as you're done as a rider, you're so in demand as a coach and a trainer and all the rest. So there's more opportunities. Whereas poor Victoria, apparently she got approached by Betfair, this betting company, about doing this challenge. And they took her to meet Lonnie and Alan Hill, who are the trainers that kind of helped her do this whole challenge. And so Lonnie Hill apparently got introduced to Victoria and said, so what are you doing these days? And Victoria looked at her agent and sort of looked a bit blank and said, what am I doing these days? So I think she had that real thing of your sporting career is finished. What do you do next? And I think she's been delighted to find something that she finds challenging and exciting, and that she's, you know, kept her public profile and high. And yeah, she's going to stick at racing. She's pointing at the weekend.
Is she like more famous now because of this?
I wouldn't say she's Britain's most medaled Olympic cyclist, and I think most successful female Olympian or something like that. So she was very well known in this country, and obviously with London 2012, she won on home turf, and so it makes her even more famous. But she's certainly been well exposed to a racing audience and has caused so much controversy, lots of positive feedback, but still some negative people, even though she's finished the race and it's all done. They're all saying it's unfair on the jockey who did win, etc., etc. So you can't please all the people all the time, as we've discovered.
Great. No, sorry, I've got it. Yeah, I don't need the chapstick. Thank you, though.
I think your son's a Victoria Pendleton fan. He wants to join the debate.
Yes, I think so. I think so. Well, talk a little bit about Don Cossack.
Yeah, I mean, so as I was saying, in the Gold Cup, it's the race before the Fox Hunters, and it was a really exciting race because there's lots of these very strong Irish raiders that were coming, and Ireland had a really good week at Cheltenham and won lots of the feature races. But British Hopes were Q Card, who's this great horse, and he's won the King George and the Betfair Chase. And so because of that, they've created a triple chase crown. So it's a bit like jump racing's triple crown. And he had to win the Gold Cup to win a £1 million bonus that not only went to his owner and his trainer and the jockey, but also to the stable staff that looked after him. And he was running so well when he had a very uncharacteristic fall three from home, and he jumped straight back. He looked like he got quite a fright that he fell over. He was just like, oh, how did that happen? He got straight back on his feet, and so none the worse, but sadly no £1 million bonus for Q Card and his connections.
And also, now you also had Rudel's Roundup. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Riddles Roundup is our monthly magazine show where Jenny Riddle goes off to different competitions and films them. And so we've added a new video to our site, which is really interesting. I don't know if you guys have this much over there, but arena eventing has become a big thing.
It's just starting over here. We have a couple of them now, but it's very popular and it's just starting. But go ahead and explain it to people.
Basically it started at Hickstead, where I also work, when we have the eventing Grand Prix, where kind of show jumpers and eventers would
what
do.
What time of year is Hickstead, by the way?
June and July. Okay. So it's fast approaching. I'm getting manic already. But since that first competition, which is about 15 years old now, it's kind of really come off in Britain. And we've got loads of different competitions at all different levels. And this one is the British Eventing Jumping and Style Finals, where it's measured on the time of cross country, but also the style that you jump the show jumping. And so it's a really interesting video where British eventing expert talks you through the different fences you'll meet and how to approach them, and you get to see somebody ride the course.
Very cool. Very cool. And of course, you can find all of this at horseandcountry.tv is where you go, horseandcountry.tv. Any announcements?
Sadly not, but we do have lots of exciting announcements in the next week or so. So I will no doubt be sharing those with you next week. But sadly, none of them are.
Do you notice she says that every week?
No, I think she's just tired of you harassing her.
I know. Last 5 years, I've been saying, any exciting announcements? Meaning, is it in the United States yet?
Oh, I hope to have good news for you one time, but yeah, sadly not yet.
All right. Well, we still love you, Victoria.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon.
Horseandcountry.tv. Well, Jennifer has earlier in the show, we made the announcement that Lisa Wysocki's books, which we are in, her series of books, and the latest one called The Fame Equation, had been picked up, up for another award, but also optioned for film and television. And we were trying to figure out who would play us, and Jamie's choice was Sandra Bullock, which...
Clearly, we're like mirror images.
And I thought Sean Connery for me, because we both have gray beards, and that's about the only similarity there. But so, Jennifer, you came up with some options here.
These are not options. This is it. This is the casting director.
All right.
This
is it.
For playing the character of Glenn the Geek, my first thought was the multi-talented and adorable Neil Patrick Harris. But Glenn can neither sing nor dance.
Nor dance, yes.
So that was out.
That's out.
So I'm going with Ryan Seacrest. And Jamie Jennings will be played, whether or not she is the villain or the hero, because Anne Hathaway can do both.
That's not bad. Except Anne Hathaway can sing and dance, too.
Yeah,
so
I was going to say, she's pretty talented.
I think we have to rule that out.
I'll take that. You know what? I get Hilary Swank a lot, so I thought you'd go with Hilary Swank.
Well, that's an option, though. And she doesn't sing and dance too much, right, Hilary?
No, and... I don't know what else. I can't even think of anything she's been in besides that boxing movie where,
but she looks ill-fated pretty badass in that. So,
well, that's where I think our similarities are.
Jennifer, who did you pick for yourself? I'm curious.
I can't cast myself. That's creepy.
Julia Roberts.
I think Julia Roberts and I have a lot in common. I think I'll go with her.
You pick Sandra Bullock.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. I might have to change it. I just found the headline. Anne Hathaway ditched veganism.
She's out.
Yep, still not it.
She can't play you then. She's out. We'll have to keep looking, Jamie.
She's dead to me, I tell you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate you being here. Did we miss anything? Did we miss any animals that we haven't covered in the last week here because weren't on?
But I could tell you weren't paying attention when I told you I was getting at least potentially 20 new chickens.
No, I was paying attention. I chose to ignore it. I was trying to channel my inner Chad thinking, oh, God. Yeah, I was talking to Mary Kitzmiller. We were going over everything yesterday. By the way, thank Mary for really doing an unbelievable job this weekend at play-by-play at a very difficult event to call. And she did so great. But while I was talking to her, she was at home. And you know Mary, she owns like 85 different animals. And all I could hear was the chicken. I could not hear her over the chickens. And I said, would you move out of the chicken cage? And she said, I'm not even near it. I said, how do you stand that all day? They were just going on and on and on and on. By the way, can I mention one other thing before we go? The price of Western stuff. Oh my God. I took a picture and posted of the bits they have there. Now, yeah, they're tooled artwork, right? Silver and all that. $500 for a bit. I was like,
A $500 cross country vest doesn't seem so expensive.
No.
It saved your life.
I'm going to throw her under the bus. Mary bought a bridle, if you could call it that. There, it was one of those that goes over one ear, and it's basically a strap that has a cut in it, and it goes over an ear, and that's all there is to the bridle. There's no other straps or anything. What do they call this?
It's like a one-eared headstall.
Yeah. Well, she got one for her Z-Donk, and it was very pretty, had silver on it and everything. $200. It's one strap of leather with some silver on it.
What? I cannot say a word because I could spend $700 in 5 minutes of Rolex on the English stuff. So.
And you probably will. Although Chad's going to be along. Maybe he'll keep you in check.
Oh, dang it, man.
Why did you invite him? I thought that was a bad move.
Glenn, you have it wrong. Oh. You have it wrong. Oh. It's going to be better than ever because Chad is going to be hanging out with Lucas
Care of the baby. I'm going shop.
No.
Because you wouldn't want to bring Lucas in the middle of all those people. It's so crowded.
I know. That's true. Just he should stay home. You should stay home with Lucas. Actually, on that note, you will also be seeing my daddy. Because my dad has decided that if Lucas is 5.5 hours north of him, he's coming. So my dad will be braving cross country day with us as well. So, yeah, my dad and his wife, and they will be.
You realize I only got you 2 press passes, right?
We're going to have to revisit that because I'm kind of screwed now because one of my students who was going to babysit has a press pass that I probably should have given to my husband.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Tom, he's going to have to buy a ticket just like the rest of them. Come on.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining. By the way, we're going to be talking a lot more about Rolex. We're going to be doing some coverage from there, and we'll be doing a meetup there, too. So we definitely want to meet all of our listeners. And we know that there's quite a few going to Rolex this year, so we're excited about that. Dr. Timothy from the Horse Husband episode, Elisa Wallace's husband's going to be there, and he said he would definitely meet up with us, and he will also make sure that Elisa joins us for our shows, one or two of our shows during that time. So we'll make sure we get to talk to her as well.
I want you to know that she still messages me. And when I posted the video of Zeus jumping, I think basically what she said, because she was the one who like, that was her first number one pick was Zeus. And she basically saw the video of him jumping and goes, I told you so.
Cut you any slack.
But that's what I heard.
She does not cut you any slack.
None. None.
She's like your, I don't know, like your big sister. Shut up and do it.
I've met her once. Like we've talked around the show a bunch, and you would think that she and I've been, you know, like you're right, sisters for 100 years, yeah. And the way that she treats
me. She's your older sister who's just constantly on your case.
And I think she's younger than me. So this is ridiculous.
I keep hoping they picked next year on Road to the Horse. It's going to be all women trainers. This is the first time they're doing that.
That's awesome.
And I have over the past number of years contacted Tootie and kept writing to her saying, you need an English trainer for a change. You need Elisa Wallace. I keep putting in Elisa's name. Can you imagine how many people would hear about Road to the Horse for the first time and show up to support Elisa?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
A ton, but I don't know. I keep putting her name in. I keep trying. Hey, tune in tomorrow. Horse Husbands episode will be here, and then Friday we'll be back with Really Bad Ads, back on schedule here at Horses in the Morning. We welcome any new listeners. Give us a couple of days. You'll figure it all out, and you'll kind of get the gist of things, but definitely give it a couple of days. You definitely have to give it a Friday, because that's our most popular day of the week with Really Bad Ads. That's it for this week. See you, or today. We'll see everybody. I'm so tired.
That's it for the week.
I'm so
sweet.
Tired.
Spayed, neutered, galled. Everybody have a great one. Get the vet coming. Floats.